There's a big kash on today's daf. We learned that halacha kedivrei hamikel be'eruv, halacha kedivrei hamikel be'aval. We want to adopt the lenient view when it comes to these things. And the Gemara tells us the chiddush is even when we have a situation where it's a yachid makim rabim, an individual who adopted a lenient view and he's being opposed by many others. We negate the majority view and we prefer the shita of the yachid who's being makel. This applies to eruv, to avelis. Rava suggests this would apply to any din the rabbanon. Now the obvious kashir is, what happened to the pasuk, which says, Achir Rabim La'atis? We meant to follow a majority view. So if we have machlekes in a bezin, who do we follow? The shita of the Rav. So why is this different? Answer the Mefarshim, the Tal Torah, many others. This is not like a bezin. Let's keep in mind that a bezin is not just a collection of individual dayanim. The dayanim comprise an entity, a unit called bezin. So certainly when we're looking to determine what is the status, what is the verdict of this bezin? Achir Ravim Lahatis, the majority. The majority carry the day. They determine the status of this entity, this unit. And therefore we follow the Ravim. Where else does this apply? This applies to a Taruvus. Rashi in Chulin Daf Tzadik Chesam Beis tells us that if we have a mixture, we have one piece of meat which is not kosher, which falls into several others which are kosher. Minatur, it's bottle. Why? Says Rashi, Achri Rabim Lahatis. We follow the majority. We have one entity, we have one taruvus, one mixture. We're trying to determine the halachic status of this mixture. We follow the majority element of this entity, which is kosher. So this concept applies, we're trying to determine the status of an entity, of a unit, a bezin, a taruvus. But this won't apply in our case. We don't have a single unit here. We have a shaila and halacha. Is the halacha this or that? So you have many opinions, but they're not connected to each other. They're unrelated, they're unconnected individuals. We have one Tana which says so, one Tana which opposes, a third Tana which actually agrees with that Tana. So although we have many that actually maintain a certain view, but they're unconnected, unrelated to each other. They're not sitting together in a bezin. Now, certainly the fact that so many individuals adopted a certain view, that lends credibility to that view, certainly. But that's a factor. It's just another factor to consider, amongst many others, when determining the halacha. It doesn't bind us based on the pasuk Achiram Lahadis, which doesn't apply here. Therefore, certainly, we have the ability to prefer the individual view, if we're meant to do so. For instance, by Eruv, we're meant to follow the Ram Mekel, by Avelis, etc. But we're not bound by the din of Achiram Lahadis. Says Rosh Hashanah, okay, so this din doesn't apply. But we have another Gemara of a dessert of Zayin Amar Alf, which tells us we have an uncertainty. Which shita to follow? Says the Gemara, we're meant to follow the one which is Gadol Mechaber B'Chochma B'Minyan. So Minyan means he has a larger yeshiva, larger numbers. We're meant to follow that view over the yeshiva, over the shita of a yeshiva which has a smaller number of Talmidim. Says Rosh Hashanah, here we have a Rabbim, multitudes that are opposing the Yachid. Why don't we prefer the Rabbim in accordance with the formulas established by that Gemara? Now it seems that apparently that doesn't apply here, because the Gemara they're speaking about, a large size yeshiva. Now when a yeshiva has many members, indeed they have the ability through their negotiation, the give and take, their analysis, the pilpul chaverim, to arrive at a much deeper level of clarity, of understanding of the material at hand. The Mishnah Perkei Avos says, Pilpul Chaver is one of the vital elements to acquisition of Torah. So a yeshiva, which is larger in numbers, has a greater ability to arrive at the proper conclusion. In fact, Rashi somewhere says that we know Halacha Kestam Mishnah. So when Rebbe composed the Mishnahs, he sometimes stated Halacha anonymously. He went to follow that shit. Why? Rebbe in his own did it? No, he didn't do it on his own. Explains Rashi, because it was a collection of chachamim. He had a big yeshiva there. And they analyzed things, they delved into things, and they arrived at this conclusion, that indeed Allah is meant to follow this shit. So due to that clarity, that they all arrived at together, through their collective efforts, indeed, we determined that to be the proper halacha. That's the shita meant to follow. So the point of a rabbim carries significance when they're working in unison, cooperating with each other. This is a pilpul chaverim. They're working together to arrive at a clarity. And therefore, they carry greater weight. And that determines the halacha. We are certain that the conclusion, the verdict that they reached, is indeed the proper conclusion. So that's what the Gemara of Edzar is speaking about. We want to follow the yeshiva, which is greater in size, larger in number. But this seems to be unconnected to our Gemara. We're not speaking about a yeshiva sitting together. We're speaking about several Tanoim Amoraim who are really unconnected to each other, who adopted a certain view. We have a Yachid, on the other hand, who adopted a different view. They're not considered to be Gadol B'Minyan. Certainly, the fact that so many adopted that Shita gives us reason to think perhaps it's a credible approach, a credible view. But it's unrelated to that Gemara with the Zara. We're not bound by it, and therefore, we have the ability to paskin like the Yachid when it comes to Erev, Tavelus, etc. The Gemara of Amud Beis tells us there are two distinctions between Erev Chatzeres and Erev Tchumen. Number one, regarding consent. An Erev Tchumen can only be established with a person's consent, as opposed to Erev Chatzeres, which can be done even Shloi Ledat. Now the Tzvah points out, although the Gemara brings up the concept of Erev Tchumen perhaps being detrimental to the person, as opposed to Erev Chatzeres, which is just beneficial, says the Tzvah, ultimately, it really doesn't depend on that. It's just a formula that Erev Tchumen needs to be done ledatoi, with the person's consent, whereas Erev Chatzeres can be done even without his knowledge. And the question is why? Why that difference between one and the other? The Gemara also tells us, when it comes to the remnants of Erev, Shiur Erev, we have that difference. Erev Tchumen would not be kosher if we don't have that full amount of food present there now. Whereas Erev Chatzeres, once you've established the Erev with the proper amount of food, even if something happened to it and you only have a small amount left over, the Erev Chatzeres is still intact, still valid. How do we understand the difference between both things? So it seems that we take a look at Rashi. Rashi and the Flamed Aleph on Beis. He'll give us the key to understand the difference between the two types of Erev. Rashi there is speaking about a katan who doesn't have the ability to establish the Erev Tchumen, but he can go ahead and establish the Erev Chatzeres. Says Rashi why. Erev Chatzeres is merely a collection. You're going to collect some food and merge together the existing residences. You're not creating something. You're just creating a partnership with existing residences here. You're taking the residents and just combining and merging them together. Even a cousin could do that. He doesn't need to fashion anything. He doesn't create anything. It happens on its own. Whereas Erev Tchumen, you need to establish something. You need to create a Shabbos residence there. A Makom Shvisa. That requires a Gadol who has the ability to create, to fashion something, to make that Makom Shvisa. That's Rashi, Daf Lamed Aleph on Beis. A similar Rashi we have in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, regarding Bein HaShemashis. So Rashi explains the Gemara there, why when it comes to Erev Chatzeres, can it be done during Bein HaShemashis? Whereas Erev Tchumen cannot. So he says that Erev Tchumen is more stringent. It's considered to be a Knu Yishvisa, you're acquiring something, creating something. And therefore, Chacham didn't allow that to be done during Bein HaShemashis, even though it's a time of Suffolk, we're not sure whether it's Friday or Shabbos. We don't allow it. As opposed to Erev Chatzeres, it's not considered to be a Knu Yishvisa, you're not fashioning, you're not acquiring a new thing there. You're merely merging together existing residencies. Therefore, that can be done Bein HaShemashis. So based on that, we can understand Al Gemara as well. When it comes to Erev Tchumen, which is a new creation, you're fashioning, a Mokim Shvisa for this person, he has to know about it. You can't do it without his knowledge. You can't create something, you can't initiate something new for a person without his consent. As opposed to Erev Chatzeres, you're not creating anything. You're taking the residencies here, and you're just merging them together, combining them. So you're not making anything for him. You're just combining it together. And therefore, you don't need his knowledge for that. You don't need his consent. It could be done even Shleim Medayt. The same thing will apply to the halacha of Shiur Erev. When it comes to creating Erev Tchumen, you need to have a proper amount of food. And that has to remain all throughout, because Erev Truman is considered to be a new entity. You've created a Shabbos residence out in the field. The food creates that residency. So as long as the food is there, the Makom Shvisa is there. Once the food has been diminished, you don't have the shir, you don't have the Makom Shvisa, which depends on the presence of the food. In contrast to Erev Chatzeris, once you've established that Erev Chatzeris by collection of that food, you've established that partnership, the partnership is there, it's intact. You're not creating something new, you're just taking something pre-existing and merging them together. So you need the proper amount of food to do that, to initiate it. But once you've done that, that partnership will remain intact. Even if the proper amount of food is no longer there, as long as you have something left, that's enough to maintain that partnership. So to initiate it, you need a proper amount of food. But once it's there, you've already merged them together. Since it's not really something new that you're creating, you're just merging it together. So once you merge them together, that doesn't depend on the presence of the proper volume of food. As long as there's something there intact, that partnership will still remain intact. Their chatzeris will still be valid.